this is John Curtis, and you're listening to the Beat to Football Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Beat to Football Podcast. Happy New Year. I'm Chris Lappin, and joining me today, I've got Nick Davey and Shane Lees.
Hello! Merry Christmas to everyone.
Did you have a nice Christmas?
A few days past that. Yeah, it was very jolly. I think I was just drunk for about 8 days.
Yeah, it's too much food, too much booze.
Yeah.
Now, whenever I run, I feel like I'm about to have a heart attack.
Yeah, I've become like a very thin man in a fat man's body, if that makes sense. Like, I used to be a thin man, and I feel like I'm a thin man, but there's like this new body on me now, and it's a fat man's body.
Are you thin but flabby?
Yeah, my belts don't fit anymore. It's a difficult time for me.
It's my New Year's resolutions is to lose a bit of weight. I've downloaded an app, and you need to follow everything.
Yeah, my New Year's resolution is to continue being the same annoying bastard I always am.
Mine's just to make sure no one sticks to theirs.
Yeah, there we go, that's a good one. Right, football.
So before we get underway,
by January, bollocks.
So we recorded two interviews this week. We recorded one with West Ham midfielder Tara Scott and one with former United and Forest defender John Curtis. So make sure you check them out.
Can't do that, Nick.
So there's been a few stories I've caught my eye since we've been away. El Hadj Diouf and Jamie Carragher have had a mini Twitter war over the Christmas period. Doof said, "The person I would least want to spend Christmas with is Jamie Carragher. I hate him. He was the biggest turkey I've ever seen on the pitch. I found him useless." To which Carragher responded, "It's better than being a donkey." The Mauritania Super Cup final was ordered to a penalty shootout in the 63rd minute. It was reported that the country's president, Mohamed Abdul Azad, got bored of the slow tempo of the match and ordered it to go to penalties.
Where was this again?
Mauritania in Africa.
Oh. Oh, that's ridiculous.
That's what I would do if I was the King of England.
I'm bored. Go to penalties.
Yeah, if someone like, if you've got like a final of like, if you've got a final of like West Brom against Sunderland.
Like, he's like the president of an entire country, and in those places that means like you're a king. Couldn't he have just had a quickie with like one of his prostitutes or, you know, female slaves or whatever they have over there? Yeah. And, like, you know, like Gaddafi had. Just go off quickly for 30 minutes and come back and the game will be done.
Yeah.
Easy.
Right, the creators of Football Manager have apologised to Tottenham striker Harry Kane for his low statistics on the game.
He's rubbish on the game.
I know.
I haven't played with Tottenham yet.
He's far too expensive and he's rubbish.
They've also confirmed that many Premier League players have contacted them to try and boost their ratings on future games.
To be honest, though, Football Manager, I've got sacked in my first job.
Oh. And finally...
It's not very funny. I've got a family to feed, man, and I'm sacked. It's not funny. I'd like to say that the chairman didn't give me the support that I asked for. Very tough time. I said we needed to get some players on loan. He said no. I asked and begged for help, but I never got it. I said we need more coaches. He said no. I'm going public with this. I'm not happy.
Well, who did you manage? Brighton.
Whitehawk.
Right, finally. Sorry. Oh. Real Madrid midfield forward Cristiano Ronaldo said it's unlikely that he'll go into football after playing because he wants to live like a king.
Well, he's going to be a multi millionaire with just an army of women waiting to bounce on his rich Portuguese dick. So, you know, he's probably entitled to that opinion at this point.
Fair play.
He can do that, yeah, fair enough. Well done to him.
Right,
which is what he couldn't do.
I think Hero should do like a kid.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I don't know. Developed a cough in the last minute.
Oh. I think Hero should live like a king.
Yeah.
I hope you're listening, Hero.
Alright, so before we get on to Rafa's sacking, we'll do the first round of some pitch.
Yay!
Alright, I haven't got the side. Who wants to go first?
Shotgun.
Nick first, okay. Alright, I want you to name Real Madrid managers since since 2000.
Does that penalty shootout?
Yeah.
Real Madrid manager since 2000. Manuel Pellegrini.
Yep. Jay?
Oh, I thought it was just him.
No.
Mourinho.
Yep.
Carlo Ancelotti.
Yep.
Can I name the Benitez, or is that cheating?
Yep.
Yeah, Benitez.
Holy fuck. Am I allowed to say Zidane, or?
Yep.
Capello definitely was there.
Yep.
Yeah, he was there.
Shit, that's what I was going to say. You bastard. What's that? 4-0?
3-0.
No, because I've said Zidane. Oh, yeah.
I think there's quite a few more. I've got a few names.
No, there is. I think there's been 12. I don't know his name, but...
12 managers since 2000.
It's the Spain manager, Del Bosque. I really can't pronounce it, but Del Bostiki.
Del Bosque, oh, yeah, I accept that.
Yeah, except that, yeah, thank you both.
No, that was who I was going to say. The guy who failed at Spurs, Juan de Ramos.
Yeah, good. Yeah. That's four each. Was there really this many?
It's been 12.
I've got two more in my head.
Right, okay, let me think. Now think, Nick. Okay. Mourinho. Oh, who was it before Mourinho? Oh, shit.
It was Pellegrini.
Yeah, you've already said Pellegrini.
I've said Pellegrini, yeah. Oh, fuck, Rick. Because we've had Zidane. Oh, who was that fucking
guy? I can't say that, Nick.
Pellegrini, and who was the other? Oh, God. I've really lived to regret this, aren't I?
The points are going to be carried forward from each round to each round.
Yeah, I'm going to have to just wave my wife. No, wait, one more.
Take a guess. You'd be so wrong.
Who was that bloke that managed? I'm going to take a wild guess and just say the old Swansea manager. I've forgotten his name.
Laudrup.
Yeah, Mikhail Laudrup. I think it's Barcelona, wasn't he? Yeah, Laudrup.
Nope.
Bernd Schuster.
Yes.
He won the title.
Who was the other one?
The other one? Luxemburgo, the Brazil guy.
Luxemburgo, yeah.
Scolari, was he manager of Real Madrid at all?
I want to say no.
No, what about Carlos Queiroz?
There's a couple of other random Spanish ones in there, I'm aware of.
Nice, so after round one, Shane is winning 5-4.
Yay!
Baby Nation's not impressed.
You're not going to tell people about your parody account you have.
I'm not hyping up my parody account under any circumstances.
So quotes Nick, quotes Davey, or Davey quotes. It's quite funny, it was my favourite account for about a week.
Cheers.
Right, so probably the biggest news of the week is that Zinedine Zidane has replaced Rafa Benitez as manager of Real Madrid.
Wow, really? That's harsh.
I like Rafa, but I just love Zidane.
Well, yeah, no, it's probably good that Zidane's like got a big job, but it's just harsh on Benitez. I'm sorry, but Real Madrid have to be the worst club in the world for managers and fans and players. Because the size of the egos, even of the fans... You can't win no matter what. Rafa wasn't doing a great job, for sure. But he was doing all right. He was doing fine. He probably wasn't going to win a league. But then again, who would have bet against Barcelona this year? So, what did he have to do to keep a job other than suddenly dramatically improve as a person?
He's still in the title race. He breezed through the Champions League group.
What's Zidane going to do? He has to win the Champions League, won't he?
Real Madrid standards are you either win the league or you win the Champions League every year, and then even if you manage to do those two, there's still a good chance you're going to get sacked.
They don't care about the Copa del Rey, or
not particularly. It's Real Madrid. They care about the big ones, and I do think it's harsh. I don't like Benitez personally, but I think it's so harsh. And it doesn't matter who you are, you cannot possibly win in that job, because even if you do as well as like Ancelotti did, you can still lose your job at the end of it. For me, I think Zidane's made probably a bit of a poor decision. He should have started off at a smaller club, probably in France, and tried to work his way up, starting at Real Madrid, because it's only going to end one way, and that's he eventually gets sacked. And you kind of ruin your reputation as, you know, a Real Madrid legend doing that.
Yeah.
So I think it's not like the best decision overall, but I honestly have to wonder, who really wants to go to that club anymore? Because you always say players getting linked with it and managers getting linked with a job, but I mean, really, who actually wants to go into that atmosphere? It's poison. It's absolute. It's not like Barcelona, where the fans do get behind you and you've got that sort of Catalan spirit. Real Madrid is just all success, success, success. And it's 100%. And if you do not do 100% every year, you're out. You're done.
You can't win. I think he was doing before he even took the job.
What, Benitez?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't like him the second they got him in there.
Well, none of the players wanted Ancelotti to leave, did they?
No, I think it's a very poorly run club. I think it's a little bit, I don't know, like, I'm going to get probably a bit of stickiness. It's a little bit like Man United in terms of the standards and the way the club is run internally are always a bit too high. In terms of, you know, at Man United, they always expect a certain level of things, and maybe that's not so realistic these days. Mm. And at Real Madrid, both the fans and the board always expect a certain level of things, and you just can't feasibly ask a manager to do that kind of level of success year in, year out, even with the players, even with the budget. It just doesn't work. The real world doesn't work like that. You can do it on Football Manager, but you cannot do it in the real world.
I can't.
Appointment wasn't much of a surprise. He's been earmarked for the role for a while. How do you feel he's going to do? Yeah.
Oh, I'm really happy for him. He's my favourite player who's probably ever played football. The headbutt, I mean, was amazing, and everything about him is just quality. I think he'll be able to make a fantastic manager.
I think he will be a good manager in time, but I don't think it will happen at Real Madrid. I think he won't win anything this season.
He will maybe win
a minor cup, but because he's a legend and because they're trying to do that whole thing where they bring him through from the youth team. They'll stick with him for another year, but if he doesn't win anything in that year, I think it will be hard for him because he's come into Madrid in a period where they haven't quite got the whole Galacticos thing going, and they don't really have any other strategy. Whereas Barcelona are kind of flying at the moment.
Yeah.
They've got their attack sorted, and let's face it, even though most players are linked with leaving every single year, they're just not, are they? We know Neymar and Messi aren't going to leave Barcelona. It's just not going to happen. Neymar maybe, but probably not. So I would say he probably doesn't win anything for 2 years, maybe a Copa del Rey, and then he gets sacked. But then I think that would be a good opportunity for him to go to somewhere like Italy or somewhere like France and manage a smaller team where the pressure's a bit more off and where he can actually have a chance to flourish.
England.
Oh yeah, or maybe even a small, you know, one of the sort of middling or, you know, lower half clubs in England where he gets a chance to actually flourish and develop as a coach away from that kind of severe pressure and all the egos. I think that would be what's best for him, and I don't think he'll be as successful as Real Madrid as the manager. I'd like him to be, because he was a legend as a player, and it's always nice when the legend players turn into legend managers. I think at Real Madrid, the tide's against you the second you start. It's a losing battle. It's just how much time you have between starting and losing.
So one player isn't happy with Rafa leaving is reportedly Gareth Bale. Can we see him leaving? Well, this year. Maybe not this transfer window, but
I could see him leaving one day, and that's simply on the virtue that he's a British person, and British people abroad don't ever tend to stick it out that long. But I think I've seen it quoted that Real Madrid would let him go for $75 million. He's their most expensive signing ever. It's going to take a big bid to go and get Gareth Bale off him, and the wages he's going to be on, and the kind of atmosphere you get from a player after they've left Real Madrid, that like I said, the ego, I don't think it's a very good atmosphere at all. It's a poisonous atmosphere. I'm not sure we'll see it for a few years at least.
If he comes back, he'll go to Man United, I reckon.
Could be anyone in that sort of regular top four. Maybe Arsenal.
Look at Tottenham, if they win the Premier League.
Yeah, but no, I think the whole, players really unhappy.
He would never do that to Tottenham. He would never join Arsenal.
Let's face it, a lot of players were allegedly unhappy at Ancelotti leaving and there was no exodus there. It's Real Madrid, it's not going to happen. I don't seriously think that, Gareth Bale is so heartbroken that his best buddy Benitez has left that he's going to go, well, I've just got to leave to Man United now. Real Madrid, you're going to have to accept a bid less than what you paid me, despite the fact I'm on millions and millions of pounds a year, so you're going to be operating at a colossal loss of this. Come on. Again, it's the real world. It doesn't work out like that.
Where's where do you reckon Benitez is going to go?
Swansea?
Swansea have... they've said they're keeping their current manager in.
Yeah,
they've said they're keeping their current manager into the end of the season, which I think is I want to go on to that later on.
Okay, we'll move on to that later. I don't know, Benitez, he's kind of one of those managers who's got every sort of option. He can go to any know, country, Italy, France, Spain, Germany, England. But at the same time, he's kind of, in a little bit of a way, got a bit of a poisoned reputation wherever he goes. Because he just hasn't made that many friends, has he?
Yeah.
You're one of those, if you're a club, you either love Benitez and you want him back, or you would never hire him ever because you hate him. And he's said, like, some shit about your club. And he's kind of got that wherever he goes, so he's both, like, very open in terms of where he can end up, as well as extremely limited.
Well, should we move on to game two?
Hooray!
Alright, so I think you're either going to really hate this, or you might find it quite funny.
Okay, let's do it.
Alright, so after round one, Nick's got 4, Shane's got 5. So over the Christmas holiday, I've been pulling crackers. I found enough terrible football-related cracker jokes.
But, oh,
dear
God.
I want you to tell me the punchline to these terrible football related
jokes.
Oh,
dear God. No.
So, Shane, you go first. What tea do footballers drink?
Whose guy is it?
Shane.
What tea do footballers drink?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It's a joke.
I'm trying to think of, like, something football-related that ends in tea.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to be. It's not penalty, is it?
It is penalty, yeah.
Oh, fuck. That's so bad. That's terrible.
Okay.
I like drink a penalty.
Penalty? Yeah.
Right, that's the most stupid thing I've learned in my life.
That's awful.
Nick, what's the chilliest ground in the Premiership? The Russia.
Cold Trafford,
yes.
Oh my god. That's so bad.
Shane?
Yeah?
What did the Bumblebee striker say?
Can you repeat that?
What did the Bumblebee striker say?
Okay, hurry up. I don't fucking know. Buzz, no, I literally have got no idea.
He said, Hive scored. Is that funny?
Nah.
Right, Nick. What is black and white and black and white and black and white?
Eh? What is black and white, black and white and black and white?
Yeah.
A Nicki Minaj song?
Yeah. Michael Jackson.
And it's football related.
What is black and white, black and white?
All I can think of is Newcastle.
A football.
That's a joke. Give up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Newcastle fan rolling down a hill. Hilarious. Okay.
Oh
shit. Shane.
Yeah.
What happens when the pitch was flooded during the World Cup match?
What happens when the pitch was flooded during the World Cup match?
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to be sensible about that. I've got to try and be stupid.
Yeah.
I was going to say they'd just rearrange the fixture and move it around.
Yeah, that's a sensible answer.
No.
The team's brought...
I swear I've heard this one. It's like, I'm not going to get the answer like absolutely right, but if I get close,
yeah.
Can I get a point? It's something along the lines of they bring out the subs or something like that.
Teams bring on their subs, yeah.
Yeah. Can I get that?
Yeah.
There we go, okay.
Okay, Nick?
That's
awful. I can't take this anymore.
Why did a footballer take a piece of rope on the pitch?
Why did he take a piece of rape on the pitch?
Rope.
Wow, I was going to say. What is this, Remy?
Nick?
To stop someone from scoring?
No, because he was the skipper. What does a footballer and a magician have in common? This is terrible, this one.
I'm anticipating it being particularly terrible. Okay. Actually, I've got this one.
Yeah.
Hat-tricks.
They both do hat-tricks, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Nick.
Some of these, like, you can actually work them out. They're like the shittest puzzles in existence.
Nick, what do you call a girl who stands inside goalposts and stops the ball from rolling away?
This is going to be sexist. What's going to be more sexist though? Nick's answer or the actual answer? Sorry, women.
The ironing board.
No, it's Annette. You've handled me now. Let's see. Okay, Shane.
Okay.
Which football club loves ice cream?
I'm just like sort of running through football club names in my head,
yeah.
Trying to figure out an ice cream related one.
What about like a beach town, in Blackpool or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, but
no, I just generally don't know.
Aston Vanilla.
Nah, can you not?
Alright, last one. Nick, what is a goalkeeper's favourite snack? Nick?
Yeah, no, I'm thinking.
I'm thinking you're just refusing to answer at this point.
it's not safe stations, is it?
No, it's a beans on post.
That was a good effort. I almost felt like you should get a point for having something that was actually better than the actual punchline.
Alright, so the end of that round, Nick has 5 and Shane has 8.
Oh dear.
I almost feel like points shouldn't even count.
It's back to proper football questions in that one. So it's been a bit of a quiet week in the old transfer window. So shall we start with... Sorry?
Anthony Knockhart. Right, we should start with the big one of the day. Brighton signed Anthony Knockhart from Standard Liège for $2.6 million.
Well, yeah, we might as well start on that one now. I think that's not a bad signing, actually. He's a good player.
Yeah, he ticks all the boxes of what we need, to be fair. Pace, trickery, got a good cross on him, good to set pieces, knows the championship well, been there, done it with Leicester. So, yeah, still pretty young, 24, so I think it's a very good signing.
Hopefully he can reinvigorate Brighton's push.
Well, yeah, I think that's a separate matter. I think that's we're running so low on players, we need players in. With obviously all the injuries we've got.
Is he your second signing this week, though?
Third. Well, we signed someone way back in October to join us for January. I think it was October or November. Richie Town from Ireland, who's supposed to scored 20 goals in Ireland as a holding player. So he's obviously knows whether. I think he'll be a good sign. And we signed Liam Ridgewell for a month. While we're waiting for a couple of other left, while we're waiting for Bong and Rossini to get back, he should slot in a left back for us for a month.
Good move, seems.
Well, he's captain Portland Timber, I believe, to an MLS Cup, so he's still got a bit about him. I know he's quite old, but
I don't think he's that old. I think he's
31.
Yeah,
one show over 30. That's that.
Chelsea. Leicester have signed Birmingham winger.
Yeah, Damari Gray.
That's a gear, especially for the money. That's a good signing.
And he suits Leicester's style of play. I mean, they've got Dyer, haven't they, as one of the wingers, and who's the other winger? They're all Brighton, so I think he'll do well for them.
He probably won't come in immediately, but it's a good move for him.
English players getting tapped up as well.
It's a good move for him to go up into a club where he will actually get an opportunity to get some playing time in the next few years. I don't anticipate he'll make an immediate impact, but
it's not too far. Birmingham Leicester's not too far, so
it's a good move. Because that's a player who could have ended up going to a club like Liverpool or someone like that and just not playing for a number of years. And then all of a sudden, they're 23.
I don't think he's even 20.
Well, let's do a Tottenham dip with like Dele Alli and players like that. Just give them a go, and they'll probably be good.
Yeah,
I've said that like quite a few times before about like the academies in England. The players are good enough. Like Tottenham hasn't got a great academy, but they gave the players a chance, and it turns out they can play at that level. I do think more clubs need to start doing that. And Gray, he's a good example of that kind of thing. You give the players a chance, and they can do it. So I think
He's always looked very good at. Wait, hang on, how much did they sign him for?
$3.7 million.
But didn't Birmingham last season reject like a $6 million bid from Bournemouth for him?
I think it was something to do with a minimum fee release clause for a club in a higher division. So I think it was something like that. So yeah, it's a good signing all around. Birmingham, it's decent money for a club like Birmingham to get him.
Yeah, and he's not going to be in any danger of dropping back to the Championship.
Yeah, he's going to a good club and a club that he can get some game time at. It's a good move all round. I'm pretty
sure. Well, potentially playing Champions League football next season.
Yeah, you never know.
Right, that Borussia Dortmund have agreed to cancel the loan agreement for Januzaj.
Yeah, I
think he was playing quite well before he left.
It's good for United to have another player in, because they've got injuries and all that sort of thing. It's never bad to have enough players to cover your squad. I do think, I wouldn't say he's overrated,
but he's
overhyped. He's quite overhyped. He's technically very good, but he doesn't. I don't think he has the right attitude. I don't think he has the right sort of concentration. I've said it on before to the podcast. I think he's a bit like Giovanni Dos Santos. Technically very, very good. Has potential to go very, very far if he can get his mind right. If he can get his head down and start playing football. And with Januzaj, you just have to sort of wonder whether or not he's ever going to do that.
He's one of them players.
For example, sticking with Man United, Pogba eventually did get his head right. He did get his head down and start playing football, and he's become one of the best players in the world. Ravel Morrison, counter example, didn't get his head right, and he's more likely to go to prison and become a very good footballer.
Well, what's he up to?
I think he is actually.
Has he just been released? He was in Italy, wasn't he? Just been released.
Yeah. You have situations like that. Januzaj, I feel like he's not to the degree of Morrison, but he's more that side than the Pogba side. I hope he can go on and do well, because obviously you want to see young footballers go off and excelling. It's always good to see footballers going off and doing
well. Is he on trial at West Ham again? Did I read that somewhere? Am I making that up?
No, I'm fairly certain he's been released completely, Morrison.
He went to play in Italy, didn't he? And he's been released, but I'm sure he's been on trial somewhere in England this week. But I might be making that up. Listeners, you can tell me Januzaj is one of them players I wish he came in a couple of years ago when under Ferguson. I think Ferguson could have sorted him out.
I do want to mention one thing in this, because I've seen quite a lot of people refer to Januzaj as a Man United youth product. If you sign them at 16, they are not a youth product. He's an Anderlecht youth product.
Yeah.
Who Man United signed. Like, it's a technicality, but let's be specific. I'm not going to turn around and say Sam Gallagher is a Southampton youth product. He's not. I think he was Exeter or Plymouth. And that's how it is. So that stuff annoys me.
Shane, you wanted to talk about Mane?
Yeah, right. Sadio Mane is being linked with Man United.
He didn't turn up to meetings on
time. Yeah, the first thing I want to mention in this is the alleged fee of $62.5 million has been widely touted in the media, and it's been essentially, misrepresented by the BBC, who tried to, what they did was they included the 5-year potential wage deal in it. So the transfer fee was $30 million, plus 5 years worth of wages.
Yeah.
So BBC published $62.5 million, and then everyone else went, "Oh, look, it's a $62.5 million transfer fee." It's not for all those people losing their shit over this this potential deal. It's $30 million. And I will say one thing: I wouldn't be annoyed if this transfer happened. He's a good player, but he's a player we've sort of known about Southampton will eventually leave us. So as long as we can get some good seasons out of him, which we have done, it's good. We'll make some money off him, probably some quite stupid money off him as well.
Hmm.
And I generally don't think he's actually that good, and I don't think he's Man United standard at all.
What did you sign him for? It was about $10 million, was it? A huge amount of money, wasn't it?
$12 million, about that, yeah. He's a good player, and he'll do well at clubs like Southampton, like Everton, those sorts of clubs. Man United standard, he is not. So I would not be upset if he went and got and signed for Man United, because we're going to have players who can replace him. So yeah, it's one of those ones I'm not upset about. The other one I would like to mention is Juan Iturbe from Roma has signed for Bournemouth.
Yeah,
and he's a player who has not really had the opportunity to break through, but has got quite a lot of potential, so to speak of. And I think, and they're also being linked with El Shaarawy on loan from Monaco, who have moved to a permanent deal. I just want to say, if clubs like Bournemouth can go and pull these kinds of players, anyone who says the Premier League is not still a big deal, what do you want? This is fucking Bournemouth, guys. Like, they're playing in front of, 10,000 people?
Yeah. Oh, Shaarawy!
Yeah, no, for real. It's like a real thing. This might be happening. We've already signed Iturbe.
Yeah.
Stoke should sign El Shaarawy and fit their mould.
I think they've got enough of those kinds of players. But I just want, I think that's amazing that a club like Bournemouth can go ahead and make those signings. Because it does show that any club in the Premier League can go off and sign, within reason, just about anyone. So I think that's very good, and hopefully Bournemouth can continue to improve and stay up.
Oh, has there been any transfer rumours you like, Nick?
What, for Brighton or for any club?
Just any club.
I quite like the rumour. Well, I don't really like it, but Palace signing Charlie Austin. I think he'll be signing for them. or just Charlie Austin in general.
Yeah, whoever actually manages to get Charlie Austin.
So I'll be picking up on this with Virgo next week. But I think Brian should just tell KPR, how much do you want for Austin? Here's our check. What's your number? We'll give it to you. That's Austin. He will get us promoted. He will score goals.
He is one of those players. He scores goals. He scores you 20 goals in a season.
Well, I remember watching him against us at the QPR this season. Whenever he gets the ball, he just looks like he's just going to lead to something. When he just touches the ball, and all his shots just seem to go on target.
I can't understand how there hasn't been a bigger sort of rush to go and try and sign Charlie Austin. Every club needs a goal scorer. Every single
club. I stand by it. Villa should have just paid the money. Yes, they might have been ripped off for him, but he would have got them goals, and they'd have probably been in a better position than they are now.
Yeah, and how much are you realistically going to pay? You're not going to pay any more than, say, 15 million. It's probably
Say 15 million.
It's going to be somewhere between 5 and 15 million.
Yeah,
somewhere
exactly.
Between that. And when you're talking about, you know, getting potentially 15 goals in a season, sort of at the very least, you can't put a price on that. Every single club, that saves you from relegation. That gets you a cup final. That gets you into the top four. Both sorts of things. That's what that kind of player does. Any club he goes to, he will score goals. I can't understand how
Villa wouldn't be in this mess now if they had him. I think I stand by.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's their fault. I did warn them.
Shame they didn't listen.
We could play Charlie Austin bingo with the amount of clubs he's going to be.
I will mention
Derby have signed a couple of players, taking their transfer fees to 23 million. No, I'm just saying, I think it's ridiculous.
Blackman looks like a good player.
Nick Blackman and some Camara striker. Camara, I don't
know. Abdul Camara.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, Brighton have done so well to be up there. When you've got teams like Middlesbrough and Derby who are spending money like it's going, like spending money like people throwing wedding confetti out, it's just a wedding. It's just stupid, really. Incredibly how we're actually keeping up with teams like that who can afford to just spend money like that. I think if Middlesbrough and Derby don't get in the Premier League next season, it'll be an absolute disgrace to that football, for their football clubs to spend that money. And I think also there should be huge punishments for the amount of money they've spent and failed to get promoted. I think it's ridiculous.
They are probably just trying to throw all the eggs into let's get promoted and get that huge TV money next season. It'll pay off.
Yeah, that worked really well for QPR.
I know.
The idiots who have those. Derby have got six centre midfielders who, in my opinion, easily get enough to play for the Premier League. They've got Bryson, Johnson, Thorne, Hughes, Hendrick.
Yeah, the Irish one, Hendrick, he's good.
There's probably a lot more I'm forgetting about. Chris Baird can play centre mid. Butterfield, he's a good player. There's probably even more I'm forgetting about.
An embarrassment of riches.
Yeah. It is. And Brighton to be up there, I think, is an absolute dream. And I think Notcott's good. So there's another one, Nottingham Forest, it's like Gary Gardner, am I?
He's one of those. Is he the West Brom one or is he the Villa one?
Villa one. He's one he had on like last season. He was crap.
Yeah, I can see he's never really done it anyway. He's gone.
Well, apparently he was crap for us, but then Forest had him on like the second half of the season. They said he was really good.
Then again, they do think Lansbury's good there.
I think O'Grady's good. I think I'm done.
They have lower standards. The one I wanted to mention was, and we're going to talk about Guardiola in a bit, I know. But the one I wanted to mention is, if potentially Guardiola goes to City, they are going to spend several billion, assumedly,
on
Lionel Messi.
I've got this news, Messi, Pique, Pogba, David Alaba.
It's just like, it's again one of those things, but when I imagine a journalist is writing this, he goes, yeah, and I can see him going for all these players, and doesn't put it into his head, that would easily cost at least £500 million.
Messi alone, apparently, you're just talking obscene amount.
It would be something like £300 million alone for Messi.
The guy, you know, that guy that always goes on Sky, the Spanish guy, he was like saying basically it's never going to happen for a club. So Messi is just, it's near on impossible.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, it would be around £500 million, probably more. And even with Man City, when they're backed by an entire country in the Middle East, even they can't go and spend that money. Just in the realms of realism, what is this? It's one of those football manager players can sort of go, yeah, I could do this. I've managed to save up £500 million over several years on this game, so I could probably go ahead and just splurge it right now.
That's happened
in real life. Will not happen.
You're talking stuff way above contract negotiations and even transfer fees. You're just talking, the guy was putting so much money, the guy that was selling, so I was obviously knew what he was all about, but he was saying it's not even just transfer fees and wages, it's just way much more than that financially. Apparently, the insurance and stuff is just...
It's absurd.
Berserk, yeah.
Players like Alaba, players like Pogba, these players, you could say, realistically, yeah, they could move.
Yeah, yeah, that's realistic.
Not, I would still say they're not in the realms of likely, but I'd say they're realistic. But for players like Messi, you're just thinking, oh, come on. Like, every year I know it sells papers to say they're going to leave, but you've been saying it for like 5 years and it hasn't happened. Get the message. He's going to retire at Barcelona. We all know this.
Messi and Iniesta, Ronaldo, and probably even Neymar. I just don't think you're ever going to see them move. I think the only realistic one you might see move is Bale. Back to the Premier League, but I can't see any of them for moving.
I would say Neymar is slightly realistic on the basis that his tax, like, absolute shittery going on in Spain might force him to move. I can see that would happen, but only as, again, sort of outside the realms of probability.
Manuel Neuer, I can never see him moving.
No, it's these ones that you just sort of go, yes, I can understand that somewhere someone can link these two players together and go, this could happen.
Yeah.
But it won't. We know it won't happen. We know Messi will retire probably before he's 35 and it will be at Barcelona. That's how it's going to go. We all
35?
Players like Messi don't stay on until, like, players like Messi and Ronaldo, they quit when they're still good. So they don't want people to remember the last few years of them not being that great.
What about players like Kevin Phillips?
I don't really think we can talk about him in the same realms as Messi and Ronaldo. I love Kevin Phillips, but we can't really talk about him.
Right, shall we go on to the final round?
Let's go for it.
Hooray!
Alright, so Nick, you're going first.
Hooray!
So. All these players I'm going to mention were actually born in England, but I want you to tell me who they represented at international level.
You're going to play like that, are you?
So it's players who play for a second country.
It's English footballers who represented a different country. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, right.
So, we'll start quite easy. Nick, Rory Delap.
Holy fuck. Roy Delap, Northern Ireland?
No, he was Republic of Ireland.
Oh, come on, everyone.
Oh, no. Oh, come off.
Shane?
Okay.
Colin, Kazim, Richards?
Oh, no.
He's Turkey, isn't he?
So, yeah,
God's sake. Why can't I have the former Brighton player?
Because he's a former Brighton player as well. Yeah, so he's won 37 caps for Turkey. Okay. Justin Hoyt? No.
Justin Hoyt, Gavin Hoyt. He was Ghana.
No, I know this one. Can I just say it's Trinidad and Tobago?
It is Trinidad and Tobago. Yeah. 16 caps for Trinidad and Tobago. So is it Zayesh Raymond?
Oh, I guess another former Brighton.
Pakistan.
For God's sake! Oh, we interviewed him.
Do you know how I know that? Because I interviewed him. And we talked extensively about him in Pakistan.
Two former Brighton players he's got.
I think this is why it went round this way.
Absolute nonsense.
Nick, Adi Akubai.
I'm getting absolutely stitched up here. Then Nigeria.
Yep, he's won one cap for Nigeria. Wes Morgan.
Jamaica. Jamaica.
Yeah, 23 caps.
Adi Akubai used to be an old football manager signing all the time.
Yeah, Akubai is an easy one. That's a Nigerian last name.
I just remember that through football manager.
Like Carl Court.
Cole Court. Yeah. I want to say Jamaica. Where are we at?
I've not done the same country twice. So.
Yeah, what?
I've not done the same country twice.
Oh, you haven't done the same country twice.
Because I could have just done all Jamaica.
I know for a really, really bald one here. I'm Barbados.
Almost, no, I know this one.
It's Barbados.
No.
It's
Guyana.
Yeah.
Cole Court is a good player.
This is the extensive football manager knowledge I've accumulated here.
Delroy Facey.
I
know this one. I know this one.
I don't. It's got to be somewhere Caribbean.
For God's sake.
No, I do know this one. It's the one with the flag. It's like red, yellow, and green.
Yeah.
It sounds like grenade, but it's not. It's like Grenada.
Grenada. Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, he's won 15 caps. So Emerson Boyce, Nick.
Emerson Boyce. South America, I think. Who was he? Honduras.
No.
Barbados.
Barbados.
He said that last time.
Okay, last one. You've won anyway. Kevin Betsby.
Who?
Played for Woking. Played
for Woking.
Kevin Betsy or Kevin Betsby?
Betsy.
I really don't know that one. I don't even know who he is.
I don't know.
Is it Caribbean?
Give me a clue.
Caribbean. I don't know who it is, so I'm just going to guess a Caribbean countryman. Okay. Cayman Islands.
No, he's the Seychelles.
Oh, all right, Seychelles. Okay.
Okay, so at the end of that, Nick has...
That was basically, do you know the Caribbean country? Plus Nigeria.
Six. And Shane has... 12.
It's a whitewash, Nick!
Congratulations, Shane.
Yay!
I think the joke question is the greatest round we've ever done.
So. Yeah. Tell you what, though, asking me about different countries, I made the map game, guys. I know every fucking flag in the world. That was easy.
Well, there was meant to be three of yours on, so I probably want to give you that round if you're
wrong.
So.
Played right into my hands.
Alright, so there's been lots of paper talk about Pep Guardiola joining the Premier League next season, with Man City and Chelsea seem to be fighting over him. Can we see him go to either club? Or?
It's clear he's going to go to England. I just think, like, I like Guardiola, I do. I've always preferred Barcelona to Real Madrid, if my little earlier diatribe isn't obvious in that one.
Yeah.
But I think whoever gets him is getting a bad deal. Because I just think... He's a manager who's come from a very, very particular background, and he plays a very, very particular kind of football. And neither of those backgrounds, or that kind of football, actually seems to match very well with the Premier League. He's gone to Barcelona, he's gone to Bayern Munich, and those are both clubs where you have a team that completely dominates,
yeah.
Where you can win every single game, barring one or two where you're going to struggle a little bit, you know, the likes of Real Madrid, the likes of Dortmund. You've got a couple of games you might not win, but every single one, it's yes, it's in the realms of possibility they might not get the 3 points, but the odds, come on, it's just not likely. The Premier League is a league where any side can beat any other side. It's a league where teams like Swansea and Palace are going to go to Old Trafford and say, we can beat you.
Yeah.
That's what league it is. And when you come from a background where you've only dominated, I think to go to a league that is truly competitive from top to bottom, it's a very, very difficult prospect. Louis van Gaal had it. He came here. I think he anticipated an easier league, and he clearly he did well against the big teams, especially in his first year. But he struggled against everyone else. And I think it just sort of showed that when you're a manager who's done that before, who's managed for big clubs but not really for smaller clubs, it's so much more difficult. And I think as well, with the style of football he plays, a lot of managers have tried to emulate that in England. And
who's Guardiola?
Yeah, I don't think a single manager has got that right. And I don't think it's because they haven't understood it. I think it's just because in the Premier League, it's a matter of domination. You can't dominate possession that much.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work. I think for him to come to the Premier League, he maybe has to do well with one of these clubs in Europe.
Yeah.
But in terms of being successful in the Premier League, I think he will genuinely struggle. I think it's a massive name, obviously. And I think he has a huge ego. I think he wants to win everything in every country. And that's why he's gone to the big clubs, rather than, you know, just trying to start a bit smaller. Instead of going to Bayern, he could have gone to the likes of Hamburg or something like that and tried to build them back up. But he went to Bayern because I think he wants to win all the trophies. I think he wants that at the end of his career. But I just don't think it works out in the Premier League. No one's dominated since Sir Alex Ferguson, and even in the last few years, he couldn't get a dominant period going. That's what the Premier League is. It's too competitive from top to bottom. Any side genuinely can beat any other side. You look at the betting odds in the Premier League, you're rarely going to get anything better than, say, and I'm talking in decimals, 1.4, 1.3. Yeah. That's the best you're really going to get. Because even when you've got like the top team versus the bottom team, it's not a guarantee. These sides are just... They've got too many good players, and you can't
apart from this season, I think everyone's going to beat Villa.
Oh yeah, apart from maybe Villa. But you can't do what Bayern do and Real Madrid do, which is just suck up every single little bit of talent that comes up in those leagues. Like, you look at Illeramendi at Real Madrid, he had one good season at Sociedad, they signed him up and had no intention of using him. And you look at Bayern, they had Mitchell Weiser, I think he was one. They signed him, he didn't do anything. Sebastian Roda, I think he's played a few games, but again, it was a matter of, don't want someone else having this guy. There's players like Joshua Kimmich is another one. They can do that, and they can do that, but there's too many of those players in the Premier League. Those players who are good enough to go to the next level, but maybe not good enough to be a regular at that kind of level. And those are the players that can cause problems. I think he's a great manager, no question about that. Nobody else can do what he's done that effectively. But for the Premier League, it's such a different kettle of fish. And I think whoever gets him is getting a bit of a raw deal, because for one or two seasons, I think it's going to be very questionable whether or not he's going to be successful. And when has Guardiola really stuck it out at a club long term? If he doesn't get success in those first few seasons, I genuinely think he'll look for an easier job. I think he'll look at something like Juventus and go, I haven't done Italy before. Yeah. I can win that there. So I do. I think a manager like, he's not like Ancelotti in terms of he brings success with him. Guardiola goes somewhere that's already successful and expands.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, that's a hard job, to go somewhere that's already successful and make it even more successful. But it's not like he brings the success with him. He has to work with something that's already set up. I mean, you had Louis van Gaal and Frank Rijkaard set up Barcelona very effectively. And he expanded on that and made it so much better. He went to Bayern where, what's the name? He begins with H, I can't remember his name, the manager who won, I think it was a quadruple or a treble, where he won the Champions League. He took that team and he made it better.
Yeah.
But I don't see a Premier League club where you can do that same kind of thing, where you've already got a club that's in a perfect position, has the potential to dominate the league, or already is, and then take them to the next level. I don't think you can do that, because, and the other thing, like I said before, that you can dominate transfers. In a Premier League, you can't dominate transfers. There's five or six clubs that can go for the very best players in the world in the Premier League. They can all afford them. And every other club can go and spend £70 million in a transfer window and not blink. Clubs like Southampton can do that. Clubs like Bournemouth, look at them, they can go and spend money. You can't dominate the transfer windows, you can't dominate possession on the pitch, you can't dominate the way of playing, you can't dominate the league. And so I think he's a manager who's all about domination. So once you dominate the whole thing, he perpetuates that. And he's very, very good at that. And that is a hard skill, yeah, but it's one that I don't think applies to a Premier League. So I think whoever gets him, be it, you know, Arsenal, be it Chelsea, be it City, be it United, whoever gets him is not getting as good a deal as they think they are. And as much as I can see him being successful in the Premier League, it would not surprise me at all if he comes to the Premier League, has two or three years here, and doesn't win anything worthwhile. At a big club, but it's so that's a league title or a Champions League. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Could you really see him going to Chelsea if he hasn't got Champions League next season?
No, honestly. Again, he's a manager who, I think he's got a massive, massive ego. And that's not a bad thing for a manager. For someone involved with other massive egos, that's not a bad thing at all. He wants to go somewhere where he's going to win everything. I think when he gets to the end of his career, he wants to say, Germany did that, Spain did that, England did that, Italy did that. I think he wants to go around and say, I did all.
Yeah.
And for a club like Chelsea, I think you'll go, potentially I won't be able to do that. And if I mess up once in England, that can be your chance gone. Because all of a sudden, you're seen as tainted goods. And, you know, there'll be a lot of people who think the same sort of thing as I'm espousing here. Maybe he just isn't cut out for this country. Maybe this is the one country he can't adapt to. And so I think he'll be more likely to go for a safer bet, which I think would be either Man United, City or Arsenal, if Wenger decides to retire. So if Wenger wins the title at the end of the season and says, that's it, I'm going out on a high,
yeah,
Arsenal would be a feasible one. One of those three clubs, I think, is realistically going to get him. And I do think he will leave for England. It will be England at the end of the year.
You anything to add, Nick?
I think I do agree with Shane. I mean, one thing to sort of agree with Shane on is whenever Guardiola's gone to a club, it's sort of been ready for him to go there. Really, it's sort of all set up on a plate. He hasn't really had to do much. He hasn't really had to do like a Jurgen Klopp type thing, like he did at Dortmund, and change everything around from top to bottom. He's sort of gone in there and sort of smiled and may have tweaked a few things, brought one or two players in, but it's been a club that's ready to win titles, ready to win Champions Leagues. And I just feel maybe at City, if he goes to City, if he goes to Chelsea or whatever, he's got a lot of work to do, especially at Chelsea. I mean, it'd more than likely be City, which in my opinion is harsh on Pellegrini, but I think he'll have to still, yeah, have to do a job, especially in the Premier League. You see every year, I mean, Chelsea have proven this year, you have to make a, you can't just rely on the same team to win you a league at this whole, for the second year on the trot.
It's such a physical league. It's such a demanding league.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to do one season. Because for one season, you have to be 100% every single game in order to win the title. That's how it is. And it's such a physical league as well. It takes so much out of the players. So to go and do that a year afterwards, you saw it with Chelsea. They were exhausted at the start of this season. You can't go and do it. You have to sign in a whole bunch of new players. And I just don't think that, as I said, you can't dominate transfers in England. It's very difficult to go and do that because there's so many clubs who can go and do that. So you have to look at his sort of mindset.
And clubs don't have to sell in England as well. There's that much money in England. Clubs don't have to sell.
Yeah, again, like I said, even clubs like Southampton can go and spend £70 million and not worry about it. Mm. Of course, we're selling out like £100 million worth of players, so of course we're not worried about it. But I mean, you look at his mindset. He went to Bayern Munich and there was another job he could have gone for at the same time, which was Hamburg. And Hamburg is a big club, a huge club. It's been a bit down and down in the dumps. But it was a club that had the potential to be expanded, but it had players like Rafael van der Vaart. It was a good club, good players. It just, it wasn't quite all clicking. If he'd gone to a club like Hamburg when he went to Germany, that would have been him saying, I want a challenge, I want to set something up myself, rather than working up, rather than, you know, expanding other good work. And like I said before, I'm not, that's not me knocking him. It's just difficult skill to go and do that. There's not a lot of managers who can go and do that. But for doing it in the Premier League, you do have to rebuild. You have to rebuild every single year, and you have to keep this perpetually going. I think for someone who's so used to having it all their own way, I'm not sure it just works like that, because you encounter too many problems in England. It's too much of a competitive league. In every single way, it's a competitive league. You can't dominate tactics. You can't dominate the transfer window. You can't dominate, you know, the games in general. So I just think for a manager who's used to that, there's maybe going to be too much of a difficult bedding in period. It's why it would be perfect for him to go to a club that isn't going to necessarily be striving to achieve instantly. So he has time and the pressure's off a little bit. And so he doesn't have quite so much attention for succeeding immediately. I'm not saying go to somewhere like Swansea, but somewhere like Liverpool would have been a good opportunity. It's Tottenham, Everton, clubs where they do have the potential to go forward, but it's going to take a bit. There's the pressure's off immediately. You have a bit of time to develop it. But instead he's going to go to a club that's expecting the title straight away. And if he can't deliver that, all of a sudden, the infallible Pep Guardiola, he makes mistakes. Yeah. He doesn't cut it suddenly. Pressure's on instantly. We've seen it with Louis van Gaal. I mean, he came here with an iron reputation, and it's just, it's folded in a year. He's the butt of so many people's jokes, Louis van Gaal, and this is one of the most successful managers ever. So I sort of think it's, I don't reckon he'll be successful. I'd kind of hope he would, because I'd like the idea of having all the successful coaches in England, other than maybe Simeone, who we might not get for a few years. But I personally just don't see it. I just don't think it has all the right markers to be a good setup. For example, Ancelotti to United, I think that's a bona fide one. He'll win them a title within a few years at least, at the very least one title. But with Guardiola, there's questions that still need to be answered, and I don't think he's answered them yet.
Okay, so we'll come up to the hour, so I think we'll probably start to finish up. So remember to check out our interviews with Tara Scott and John Curtis. We've hopefully got John Curtis.
He's Brian, you know.
Alright, so we hopefully have two interviews planned for next week. I know Nick is very excited about one. Nick?
Hello. We've got a fantastic guest next week. It's the return of Virgo. We need to get our own entrance theme, I think, for that one. In it goes, Virgo.
In case you weren't clear, that's Adam Virgo.
Fantastic pundit, fantastic footballer, Brighton legend pretty much. And yeah, we're looking very, very excited to have him back on the show. Me and Shane will be into it, so there'll be three southern lads on the show. You won't have to hear Chris or Hero in it. looking forward to it.
Alright, so follow us on Twitter, it's @V2Football, and subscribe to us on YouTube. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.